You would see I put a title, God always will provide. God always provides for his people. And this is the history we see in the book of Kings. And the book of Kings is about God's redemptive history for his people. God working with his own people. We move from a king to another king. Sometimes we make really greater emphasis on the kings themselves more than on God, who even always determines really even the actions of the kings, and even he is the one who works in the hearts of these kings whether to be faithful. And then also we know there is this competing powers of Satan that would take God's kings away from God's ways. And these are the things always God would address, isn't it? That is why you will have these kings did evil in the sights of God. So the expectation always is for God's people really to walk with their God. And God in his ways, he got a way to do this. And so it's not a responsibility they were carrying out through their strength. Even when they try, they fail, because that is what we see often. So we move from a king to another king, but sometimes not a straightforward story. Sometimes we find there is a mention of a king in the northern part of the kingdom, and then then they bring the new king. So if sometimes it can be confusing, isn't it? You get lost, and so. But if carefully you look, you would see what is really happening there. So this story we have here is tells us. Beyond any doubt that it is not dealing only with the king, but primarily with the people of Israel. So always you find that a king is raised for the people of God. They are anointed to lead God's people, the kings, isn't it? So that is what we observe. And the kings were called to lead God's people and execute God's plans. So they were not above God's judgment themselves when they err, when they go astray from the word of God. And you find that God always moves. He moves to address these things. And I think even in our day-to-day also, God is the same God. He will always move to address things that are not pleasing in his sight. And that is why we have the Bible. We can be corrected, even as we were having short times of testimonies, not to grumble and not to trust him. So we have this man in chapter 13, the king, in the 23rd year of Joash, son of Ahaziah, king of Judah. Joahaz, son of Jehu, became king of Israel in Samaria. So here is the king in the northern part, and this boy, this man, is a son of a king called Jehu, who was a king in Israel, and his story we read in chapter 9. So he's the man who went and punished under God. He punished Ahab's house, and God really dealt severely with the sins of the house of Ahab. But the Lord says this man also, he did good things, but there were things that he didn't do right. So in chapter 10, verse 31, says, King Jehu, in those days, yet Jehu was not careful to keep the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. So that was a fault was found in him. So even though he was a king, a good king, he executed, he killed the house of Ahaz, and also he killed one of the kings in of the southern parts, who was like trying to be friend with the king of Aram, with the king of Judah. So here his son is becoming a king. His son, how he came to power, he came to power because his father died, and now he is the successor. So the Bible tells us in verse 2, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord by following the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit, and he did not turn away from them. Now, the verse 3, that is one I want to focus on, 3 and 4 and 5. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. As I said, God's anger burns against Israel, his own people, because they have forsaken him and they walk after other God. So God's anger burns against them, and for a long time, we are not told how long. Just imagine you live under God's anger for a long time. Can be devastated. He kept them under the power of Hazael, king of Aram, and Ben-Hadad, his son. So he allows other nations to subdue his own people. That was not in his own plans. That was not in God's plans. And there are things even in our day, today, as a Christian church, there are things that are not in God's plans. Sometimes we think, like we don't have revival because God doesn't want to have a revival, but God's heart is to revive his own people. And so this is the case. So they were under this oppression of this cruel kingdom, and so it was so terrible. And here the turn of things. Then Jehoahaz sought the Lord's favor. You see, this is where we see the turn. So things change always when the focus is God, when we turn to him. And then here the Hebrew words for Lord's favor is panim, the face of God. So here, then Jehovah sought the Lord's favor. And here the words Lord is Yahweh, is Jehovah. And Jehovah, this is the second name that we encounter in the Bible. The first was Elohim, isn't it? The creator God. The God who has created his own world. And every created thing is attributed, should be attributed to God. There's nothing that is made that he hasn't made. And so this man, he turned to God, and we are given this title, Yahweh. Yahweh is the name that God gave to reveal to his own people that he is God who is in the covenant with him, with them. He is a God of covenant. That is his name, Yahweh, Ahia. And these names, then he's saying, these names, from this name we have all the other compounds, names. This is where we have, because the Lord here, that we translate like this in English, in all English we translate it as Jehovah, isn't it? Yahweh, from which we have all the other real forms of his character, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, God who provides, is Yahweh Yireh, so God who sees and provides the need for his own people. Jehovah Rapha, God who heals. So here, if you would like to say, is the base. Yahweh, what this does mean? I am God who is all sufficient. I am the God who meets all your needs. I am your God. You be beside me, you don't need anything. And now you see the danger coming under other cruel kings because you have departed from the covenant stipulations. Because you have departed, you have removed yourself from the favor of God. When you were called to possess the land, a land that flows milk and honey, to have an intimate relationship with your Father in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who walked with his own people in the wilderness, the God who provided for them warmth at night, like a pillar of fire, you see, clouds to cover them in the desert of Sinai, you see, the God who rained manna. This is our God. It's a God who is not limited in his resources. And even if when things are bad, like this king, he was so bad, isn't it? And yet, you see, because in verse 4, we will discover why God was just like really going to answer this man. You see? And then what can we learn from this also, we ourselves? Because sometimes we think when we are good is the only time when God can hear us. When we have done everything right on and well. When we are righteous and we have done our religious exercise and things like that, maybe our daily reading and prayers and things like that, and we think we are good. Or other times when we are not doing that and we feel like we have wronged someone, we have harbored wrong thoughts. And we say, oh yeah, you beat yourself, so now your holiness is jeopardized and you are not a good Christian. And then you forget where to go from there, isn't it? To seek the favor of God because you are in the covenant with him. And because of reasons, he will give alone. Just imagine. The God we worship, our Father in heaven, is the one who will determine why he is answering us in this way. His wisdom is infinite, as we heard earlier in the testimonies. And now we see he's this man who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. We have not sought God and looked around and could find nothing to help him from the ordeals he finds himself in. Have you ever found yourself in situations like that where you wouldn't know what to do? Well, we can face things like that, isn't it? So the weekends is a challenge to all the parents, maybe sometimes even for parents who have younger children, isn't it? It's not like adults who can make their own decision. This one would want to go and just have like a birthday party with his friend, and then the other one, and maybe four things can happen on the same day, isn't it? And then you would just scratch your head where to start the picking up, you see? And so, and some families that they see they have great friendship, like they could see they would want to sleep over. And then this is where you will have to stand your ground. And so as a father yesterday afternoon, I was struggling with cough and I was like trying. But and then I prayed to Jesus and I was struggling amazingly. I said, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me. I want to pick up my kids wherever they might be in all the places they have gone to. You see? And so they were their families members. You see? Good. Apart from Noah, who has a Sri Lankan friend, they are just like that. From prep to grade four now. So in the school, during recess, you find them together, three boys. You see, after school, they go with this one all the way to that car, and then they go this way, and we will be just like waiting for them when they can just break. You see? And it was just incredible. And so the Lord helped me, and then Emanuela was just close by, picked Emanuela, car him down, picked Joe Jr., Narwara and South, Georgia, Narwara North, Noah. That was the heart attack, you see. And then finally we got home, and I said, tomorrow we are going to worship together, and the Lord just helped us in the morning, and we were here. But I knew where to turn because I couldn't do it. I was coughing, I was just lying down, and so forth. And so this king, he sought the Lord. He sought the Yahweh, the Lord who provides. And we see these words, that is what Moses said, isn't it? Like God, he said, you are sending me to Israel in chapter 3, verse 4:15. How will I say, what is the name of the God? He said, tell them, I am he who is. I am Jehovah. And I'm sending you to them and let them know that I am the one who will watch over you. I will look after you because I am the Jehovah. And then you can have the rest. Even one of my favorite, I want to make a sermon on that, Jehovah Shammah, the last verse in Ezekiel, isn't it? The Lord who is here. We will always be here, Jehovah. So the Lord will always be here for those genuine believers who believe that even despite their mess and their struggles, we have been so privileged to have a God before whom we can come and seek favor for our own difficulties. You see, and our difficulties are many, isn't it? Are many, so that we heard that earlier. We will never run out of trials. But the New Testament even provided for us. You see, because I think it's Agostino who says that the New Testament is embedded in the Old Testament, the Old Testament is embedded in the New Testament, and is so together. And there is unity even in the Bible. And we see Apostle Paul picking this up, giving us this story from the Old Testament, affirming to us the same character of our God. And that if our people in the Old Testament, our believers, our fellow believers, they have messed up and God did not hesitate to punish them, God also will not hesitate to punish us. But the thing, as this man went and straight away he sought the favor of Yahweh, well, also we have the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his blood is sufficient for us to atone us. So this man, he sought the Lord, and the Lord listened to him. For the Lord, that is the reason I said, for the Lord saw how severely the king of Aram was oppressing Israel. Was not oppressing the king who was evil, didn't lead God's people right. But God has a heart for his own people. And God has a heart for us. He got the best plans for us. He got the greatest heart ever, if I could say that. His love for us is immeasurable. And at any time, we can come, even learning from this king, and seek favor for him. For whatever area where we need favor. You see, a few months ago, I just started to remember, to remind myself to pray for God's blessing. You see, there are things we forget always, we as Christians, isn't it? We don't ask. But God wants us to exhaust every opportunity, isn't it? Isaiah 62, those who call upon him, give him no rest. We can pray night and day for the salvation of people who are not saved. We can pray for people under drugs and bondages of all kinds, sexual immoralities. And you see lying in spirits and grumbling and all the bondages that are not really to be part of a Christian witness. Because the blood of Jesus is sufficient, the Spirit of God is able to bring life and to bring deliverance and joy and freedom that Jesus has called us to experience. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Lord gave a reason for his heart for his own people, and that is the heart of the Lord God for his church even today, even tonight. That is the hearts of God for you tonight. So do you have anything? Name it. You see, even if you want to have high mark. I was talking with my son who is in year 7 today. So Joe Jr. His name is Joe Jr. And so he is a very independent thinker. You see, sometimes you want to do things his own way. And then I said, Junior, you have a lot of things you need to do. You see, you have a lot of activities. You want to do basketballs and you got other things. But you need to study well. I want to support you if you can really study well. And then I can also, you got 2 days training, like Wednesday and Thursday, basketball. You see? So he said, oh yeah, I made my mind that I will not have marks that are under 57. You see? I said, that is really a good thing, you see? And then he said, oh, where would you see yourself in the top 10 in your class? Or like, he said, well, maybe in a few weeks, and then I might be in the top 10. And I said, do you realize that being in the top 10, you need to get marks around 90? You see? You see? I said, oh, yeah, I know. But I said, so even with that, to raise your marks, you can seek favor from God. So there is no small things where you cannot ask God for. And that is what will mark you out of those who do not have God. Otherwise, we will be doing things through our own effort, and they will never bring glory to God. You see, whenever anything that we do it in Christ, through Christ, and for Christ, you see, brings glory to God and bring freedom and joy to us as well. So here the Lord said, declare, because of Israel, his chosen one. Are you chosen? Are you a child of God? So this is for you. This is what God will do always. Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eyes. You see, if you incline your heart to him, and seek him like this man. I don't know whether I should say accidentally, but it is the grace of God itself to seek God. God has to move you, you see? So there's nothing that we can ever do. Jesus said that, isn't it? Without me, you cannot do anything. So he said, because these people, they were trying to oppress Israel, I move. The Lord provided a deliverer. You see, the Lord always will provide. And we see this, and let me go quickly because I don't want to drag it on a lot. So let me go back to the New Testament. So we read earlier that Paul was reminding the Corinthians that I don't want you to be ignorant about the fact that, brothers, God was so good to his own people and helped them through wilderness and all sorts of things that God has done. Even has punished their sins when they sin against him. And so Paul says in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that now these things occurred as an example to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. And so, yeah, God moved that. And so here the warning really cross over to us even in the New Testament. And so this is a warning for us. And so even that king who inclined his heart, we don't have to learn the hard way. No, we can just get into the blessings that we want. And to God in his wisdom, he may choose to put us under trials. That is fine, we heard that. But even through those trials, we will be joyful, isn't it? We will be joyful because these are from the Lord. You see? Yeah. So the Bible says when we suffer and doing the will of God, the Spirit of glory will come upon us. And so he says that. So this is what he says. So let us learn from these things. And then we should not go the ways of the people of this world. And then he said these things again in verse 11. These things happened to them as example and were written down as a warning for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Now the favor has come down to us, isn't it? Jesus Christ came. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. This is where we come and search our hearts at times. When we sit before the Lord God, every time before you do anything, and you ask the Lord to search your heart, if there is any wicked way in you, in me, and so you ask the Lord to remove it, and then you keep going. And then these are how we do that. We have a lot of means of grace that we can access. So and then he went on, no temptation, and this is what I want to end with, no temptation has seized you except what is common in man. And that was because a man's heart is sinful, isn't it? So we will be tempted, so we will not be exempted from even things that we do at times, we say, you see, attitudes and words that are insensitive or not sensitive. So these things will come. But we have a Redeemer who can watch our lips. I have testimony I didn't need to say. See, but anyway, this is how God wants us to trust him. No temptation has seized you except what is common to a sinful man, saved by grace. And God is faithful. He was faithful with Jehoahaz, isn't it? He was faithful to Israel. He delivered them when they were bad, because of his faithfulness. That is his character. He is Jehovah. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You see, I look at this and the problem might not be removed, but he will sustain you to stand before that, knowing that these things will build us up, isn't it? We stand and we reject it. We pronounce that it's bad. We don't justify ourselves. We don't justify our sins. But we persevere with the Lord until he helps us. That is what he says here. He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That was what happened with Jehoahaz. So they were delivered, but still they were weak. And they were there, and also even they were continuing not being faithful to God. But what the message I want to leave with us tonight is we have a Jehovah who is all sufficient for us. And we have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ provided for us through his atonement on the cross of Calvary. And how he has brought us out, not like the Israel from Egypt and set them apart, and they had the word of God. No, we have, the Bible says the New Testament, the new covenant is greater than the old covenant. Because Jesus finished it all. And so I call upon you tonight, like to trust the Lord God and to know to turn to Him like this man who was in himself, he was aware of his rebellious. The Lord will always provide for His own people. And while I was traveling, I experienced this. Some of my friends, they rightly and graciously and kindly, they were panicking and asking me, following me. And I was just at rest, you see, because the Holy Spirit conceals the whole things, you see, and we were able to wait for His own time. We are to learn to walk with our God. He is for us the all-sufficient. And Jesus Christ, He offered a sacrifice that will work to eternity until He returns for us. We have the grace. We have the redemption. Our name written in the book of life. We have access, and according to Hebrews 4, isn't it? So because we have a high priest who has ascended to heavenly places, so we can come with confidence into the throne of God to find grace and help in the time of need. You see, whatever time of need you want, the Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, you see, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, God who sees. And the other thing also, like, I missed as I was speaking, was the Lord saw the suffering of His own people. I want you to take this point seriously. The Lord sees whatever you go through. That is why it is good not to defend yourself, because the Lord sees, and He got the best plans to bring you out of that. Because if you do it yourself, you will ruin it. You will break relationships. And this is what a lot of Christians, they do. They fight so much, they take things with their hands, and they don't know that while they are dealing with things, they have to be open in their mind and their spirit to know that the Bible is unified. You cannot act upon one verse and not considering other verse that are really working together with that. While we are defending the truth, we are not to forget that God is God of mercy. He got better ways, not to crush the offender, but to persuade them to repentance and turn away from the evil ways. The Lord will always provide for the needs of His own people. All that you need to do to turn your face to Him and seek His favor. He's a loving and a gracious God. And this is the glory of the Christians, that they have a God they go to, the creator of the whole universe, and Jesus Christ, the one who has no equal. Shall we pray?